people are. Thank you, music. Thank you, Lord. I come to give an honor to God, for certainly He's been a joy and a great sustainer in my life. Certainly He is all I need. I call on Him daily, sometimes constantly, because He's all I need. I just come to say thank you. I am Deacon Cornelius. I am not a minister. Pastor is building on the things that deacons should be able to preach. And we are learning that here at Restoration Fellowship Center. So I am in training. So I thank God for the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity. Thank you all for listening to me and giving me the opportunity, because I'm training on you. Praise God. So thank you for your attention. I'm just so glad to see my boys, my young men over here. Davon and Brian, those are my two sons. Thank you for coming. Praise God. My mom, she wasn't feeling too good this morning. She was checking out on us because we wasn't going to make it. Thank God, here she is. Her and my niece, Tiara. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And to my wife, thank you. You know. Love ya. Thank you, ministerial staff, for all the prayers. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, all my friends. Thank you. I've been coming from the scripture, Psalms 37 today. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. And it reads, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I'll be speaking on a subject today. I messed up. Now what? I won't be with you long. Just bear with me a little while. Father, we just come to say thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father, for this day, Father. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Father. Father, we thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, Father. Father, we just pray that I would just be with me right now, Father. I pray that I would just move me aside right now and step in, Father. And you just take over, Father. And you just do what needs to be done, Father. So, Father, we just pray our blessing right now in the name of Jesus, Father. We ask, we claim, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Text. I would ask if there's anybody out there that has never failed, because somebody just might raise their hand. So I'm not going to ask you, because that would be just wrong. It started from the beginning. Adam and Eve failed. They were placed in a perfect environment with just one directive, to abstain from the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. And they failed. Abraham, father of the faith, failed. He lied to Pharaoh about his wife, saying that she was his kin. Moses, the giver of the law, failed. He murdered an Egyptian who was fighting with an Israelite. David, the psalmist, and later the king of Israel, failed. First, he committed adultery with the wife of one of his most faithful soldiers, and then he had the soldier executed. Rebecca, women, you're in it too. Rebecca, wife of Isaac, helped her son Jacob deceive his father and receive the blessing. Jezebel, wife of Ahab, led the Israelites to paganism and swore to kill the prophet Elijah. One thing which is common to all mankind is that we all fail. There's one out there who hasn't failed, some perhaps more than others. The Bible recognizes that humans do fail. James chapter 3, 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. You see, the most important thing is how we handle failure. So I messed up. So what now? What do I do now? David would not confess his wrongdoing until Nathan. In 2 Samuel 12:13, he was able to help him see his own wrongdoing by showing that he would not have tolerated such actions from anyone else. In Psalms 38:1-8, David describes his painful consequences for not confessing. And it says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand passeth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my lungs are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. See, all of that because he wouldn't confess. It's torn. His body is torn. So the first thing we need to do is confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. The story of the crucifixion is another good example of what we should do. We look at Judas, the betrayer. Peter, the denier. We look at Matthew 27. This is Judas. Very early in the morning, the leading priests and the elders of the people met again to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. Then they bound him, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priest and the elders. I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. What do you care, they retorted. That's your problem. Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. Peter's denial of Christ is listed in Luke 22:16-62. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you have even known, you even knew me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. See, in Peter's tears, the words used mean that Peter wept bitterly. They're a sign of his deep repentance. See, he realized at last what he had done, how far he had fallen, how his denials had hurt the Lord. But Judas wept too. His tears led to suicide. Peter's tears led to repentance. Peter did much more for Jesus Christ after his fall than he did before. He went out to become a great preacher of the gospel. to repentance. Those are the difference too. Judas, he apologized to man. But Peter, he apologized to Jesus. We are all either climbing toward heaven by God's grace or sliding toward hell on our own. Peter's story reminds us that it is not one incident alone that makes a life. Though we fall again and again, it is the getting up that marks a true child of God. Peter was something of a mess, but then so are most of us. He was a shaky rock. He was a shaky rock, a fragile stone, an imperfect discipline when Christ formed into a rock that in the end could not be shaken. So that's our hope too. Though it may not be the devil's works from time to time and suffer for it, the mighty Christ comes to set us right again. I messed up. What do I know? I move on. I don't give up. James Jordan. James Jordan is the father of Michael Jordan, who some recognize as the greatest basketball player in history. I can remember the camera showing the father in the stands as Mike played ball. We all have watched him do some of those fancy moves that he does, like driving to the goal, and he goes up and then he reaches around and he dunks it on the other side. Or he pumps someone and he switches hands and he dribbles around them and does those things. Or he drives from the foul line and dunks, or he shoots the game-winning shot. But his father, his dad, doing all this, he's watching. And he's watching and he's cheering his son through the failures and through the ups and the downs. Some of you may remember a commercial with Michael Jordan where a video is showing excerpts from some of his plays, and while the video is playing, he's talking. He says, "I've missed over 9,000 shots in my career." And he's doing one of those layups where he goes to the side and he comes to the other side, but he misses. And he says, "I've lost almost 300 games. And he's dribbling through the crowd and he stumbles and he falls. And he says, 26 times I've been trusted to take the game winning shot and I've missed." And he jumps and he misses the shot. "I've fallen over and over and over again in my life." Then he says, "That is why I succeed." And then he shoots that game-winning shot just in the nets. Ball trickles the pines right through the net. Michael Jordan didn't focus on his failures. He focused on his strengths. But you see, his father was there through the failures and successes, through the missed shots and lost games and the wins. I can imagine him saying, "Come on, son. You can do it. Come on, Mike. Get up. Come on, man. Tough it up. Come on, you can do it. I'm here. Sometimes I'm going through. When I've failed at even when I've sinned," I can imagine our Heavenly Father sitting up in the stands. Sitting up in the heaven looking down upon us. And saying, "Come on, my son. Come on, my daughter. Come on, you can do it. If you can do, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I know it doesn't look good right now, but trust me, all things work together for the good for those that love the Lord." Now that night, not that way, my son. Not that way, my daughter. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads into heaven. My grace and mercy will bring you through. If you need somebody to lean on, you can lean on me. I will hold all that falls and raise up those that are bowed down. If anyone be in me, he is a new creature. For all has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Don't be weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Come on, my son. Come on, my daughter.
hand and hold the man and change in hand. But if you can hold the man and change in hand, everything's going to be all right.
An athlete is at a serious disadvantage without a coach or a trainer. So is a woman or a man without God. They are without hope, but they have no trainer or teacher in the things of life. Those who ignore God's wise advice in the Bible are doomed to failure. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's Proverbs 1:7. It's been said that bone is broken, often becomes stronger after it is healed. Something in the healing process actually makes the break point stronger than it was before. Same thing is true of our failures. God can strengthen us where we are broken and makes us stronger than we were before. Though we fall and fall and fall again, and though our faces are covered with the muck and the grime of bitter defeat, by God's grace, we can rise from the field of defeat to march on to the new victory we confess. When we confess our sins, when we ask for forgiveness, when we're steady to show ourselves approved, and when we don't give up, we can make it. What do we do? What do? When we mess up, that's what we do. We don't quit. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.
Church say amen. My. Amen. Praise God. That's what happens when we throw everything at the devil. Amen. Praise God. We don't want to hold back not one gift, amen, that God has given to the church. We want to be able to use it all, amen. If God has given it, amen, we want to. Amen. Let God anoint it, bless it, use it, amen, keep it. God be the glory. Did he not preach the word today? Amen. Glory to God. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. He said, I messed up. How many of us can confess that they messed up? Amen. If I had not in the past, today after hearing that word, I can. Sure enough can. Amen. And keep my eyes stayed on thee. Amen. If you be here today, amen. If you be here today and you know not Christ in the pardon of your sins, amen. If you have not received Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, amen. We extend that opportunity, amen, for you to